Well, on behalf of Liberty Baptist Church, I'd like to welcome all of you to this service. I want you to know that even though all these months have went by, the good people here at Liberty Baptist Church continue to pray for you. We pray that the Lord will encourage you, keep you safe, give you strength and help during this time. And I'd like to welcome all of you again. As you know, November 3rd, we'll be voting for a new president. The president of the United States is supposed to lead the people of this country. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And one thing I want to say right off the start, and I'll probably say it a few times, is, you know, as we get older in our society, we tend to get kicked to the curb. You know, people look at all of us with this gray hair, and I'm pointing at myself here, as we're not really useful to this country anymore. But I tell you what, come November 3rd, you are just as important as anybody else. And even more so if you know the truth, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, even more so. Okay? I want you to know that for a certainty today, that your vote matters. Your vote matters. Don't leave it up to somebody else. You know, I'm going to read Psalm 33:12 to you, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, Lord means master. "And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." So blessed is the nation. So let's just say blessed is the United States of America if God is our master. That's what that verse is saying. It says any nation who says God is their Lord is going to be blessed. That's why this election is very important. That's why it is important that you vote. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. And Father, we just thank you for the miraculous things you do as far as allowing your word to get into these facilities and be put on DVD, and just so these dear folks can attend this service, Father, can hear what you have to say. And Father, I just thank you for that. Help us not to take that for granted and take it lightly, Father. It's just a miraculous thing you've done. And Father, give me words to say today. Help us to realize that it's our responsibility to go and vote for the president of this United States here. You've blessed us beyond measure with this country, Father. We thank you for it. Help us to do our responsibility and get out and vote. Put the best man in the presidency that will follow you, Father. Allow you to run this country. Father, just have your will and way here. Oh, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, that's what we need. We don't even need a president. I'll be honest with you. You know, back in the Old Testament, talks about God told the people, you don't want a king over you, which is basically the same thing as a president over us, okay? God said you don't want that, but the people were stubborn and rebellious, and they said, yes, we do. So God gave it to them. But actually, we don't need a president. We just need God to rule and reign in all of our hearts. That's all it would take right there. That's all it would take. But the situation we're in, we do have a president, and I want to encourage you to vote for him. Blessed is the nation. I want this country of ours to be blessed by God. That's what I want. I want it to be blessed by God. But we need to make him master, first of all. November 3rd, we will elect a president that will lead our country for the next 4 years. The elections of the past have brought us to where we're at today. Stop and think about that for a moment. We're in the situation we're in, and I'll be blunt with you. We're in a mess here in this country. It's because of the elections that have gone by. It's because of those elections. Let me just read. I have some quotes here. I've been reading these, and I just like them. I have some quotes from some past presidents. Now, as I'm reading these, think to yourself, if we only had a president today that talked like this, okay? This is Abraham Lincoln speaking here. We have forgotten God. Does that sound familiar at all? He says, we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to God that made us. That was Abraham Lincoln. Boy, I pray we'd have a president that would talk like that. I'm going to read a few of them to you. James Madison here. We have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, far from it. We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the commandments of God. The future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which this Constitution is founded. Boy, I long to hear a president talk like that. This here, Ronald Reagan, right here. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. John F. Kennedy, the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Here's George H.W. Bush. We asked for God's help, and now, in this shining outcome, in this magnificent triumph of good over evil, we should thank God. We should thank God as a whole. We should thank God as a nation. George W. Bush, each day millions of our citizens approach our Maker on bended knee, seeking His grace and giving thanks for the many blessings He bestows upon us. John Quincy Adams, my custom is to read 4 or 5 chapters of the Bible every morning immediately after rising. It seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day. It is an invaluable and inexhaustible mine of knowledge and virtue. Abraham Lincoln again, I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible. Take all of this book upon reason that you can and the balance by faith, and you will live and die a better man. Just a couple more here. I've got lots of them, but how about Theodore Roosevelt, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. You know, today, in today's world, it's all about getting that college education. I've seen these secular colleges ruin more people than I care to think about. They'll sell the farm to get that college education, which they'll be paying on for the next 30 years, but they won't pick up the Bible and read it. And Theodore Roosevelt says a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education, and he's absolutely right. Well, that's enough from the past presidents. You get the idea, though. I wanted to read those to you because we have had men that have been the president of this country of ours that look to God Almighty. They look to Him, and they know all the blessings. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You see, they knew that. They knew that. Are we going to elect a... Let me tell you something else. I'm not up here telling you vote Democrat or vote Republican. I wouldn't do that, not on this platform. But I will say this. This is fact. Okay, the Democratic National Convention was 4 days long, And not one time during that 4 days did anybody mention God. Not one time. Does that tell you something? It tells me something. God isn't not in any of their thoughts. None of them. God was mentioned several times in the Republican National Convention. Now, I'm not up here talking politics. I'm up here wanting people to vote for a president who will lead this country by the word of God. Who will lead the, I want this country to be blessed. Let's go to Daniel 2:21. Chapter 2, verse 21. And again, don't take no offense because I said that. That's just a fact. It's not my opinion. Okay? And I'm not up here saying vote for one party or the other. That's not what I'm saying. But I want to vote for somebody who acknowledges God Almighty. Daniel 2:21 says right here, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." You see, God's in control. God's in control, but he gives the people, he'll give us what we want as a whole, as a country. If we want to go down the path of wickedness, where everything that is good we call evil, and everything that is evil, we as citizens of this country, we call it good. If that's what the majority of the people want, God will give it to them. He will give it to them. Even though he is in control. Our nation for many years has been moving further and further away from the biblical principles on which it was founded. Okay, biblical principles upon which it was founded. Now, normally I don't read a lot of anything other than the Bible. But here, from our founding father, here's some quotes from our founding fathers. We've already listened to what some past presidents had to say. These are founding fathers right here. Listen to John Adams. "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." How would you like to hear somebody talk like that today that's not standing behind a pulpit? These are the people that founded this country, all upon the principles of God's word. Faith in God. "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." Noah Webster, he wasn't one of our founding fathers, but notice this. "All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible." Noah Webster. This one right here is from Abraham Lincoln. "We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God." But we have forgotten. Boy, that sounds just like our country. The greatest country on the face of the earth, and we have forgotten God. So when you go to the polls this November 3rd, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Here's George Washington again. "O eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more in the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time obtain the resurrection of the justified unto eternal life. Bless, O Lord, the whole race of mankind, and let the world be filled with the knowledge of thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ." You know, I would like to hear a president, when he gives a State of the Union address, talk like that. I would like to hear that in my lifetime. Just a couple more here and we'll move on. But the whole thing here from past presidents and our founding fathers is you see where we were to where we're at today. Boy, are we a long ways away. We are a long ways away. Let's see. John Quincy Adams. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Well, here's Andrew Jackson. The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. It used to be. It used to be. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's what all these quotes I'm reading you from past presidents and their founding fathers, that's what they're saying. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Do you want this nation to be blessed? Or don't we care? We ought to care. We ought to care. James Madison says, cursed be all that learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ. You know what he just said? He said, nothing else matters except for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Nothing else matters. We are so filled with politicians that are power hungry and greedy and selfish. It should be a government by the people. That's why we go to the polls and vote. It should be a government by the people, for the people. But they're not for the people. They're the ones that have been elected, but they're not for the people. One last one. We'll do Benjamin Franklin. Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped. That he ought to be worshipped. Boy, I'd like to have a political leader, especially a president, talk like that. Well, like I said, we're at the point we're at today because of our past elections. Okay? Your vote matters. Your vote matters. What's at stake in our nation is the advancement of the agenda of those who have made the murder of innocent unborn children legal and socially acceptable. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Keep that in mind here, because I just said what's at stake here is murder. You realize how over 3,000 unborn babies are murdered every day. Every day. Oh, people don't like to call it murder, do they? No, they like to call it abortion. It's murder. It's murder. It's funny, a couple of my daughters recently, within the last few months, had babies. And, all the time up to delivery, they're all excited because they can hear the heartbeat. They can see the baby moving on a monitor. But yet, people go to these abortion clinics and they murder a child. And then they go out and do whatever they do the rest of the day. They don't think nothing of it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What we're doing here with murdering these babies, God is not going to bless that. You see, you've got one party over here. You know what used to be? You could only murder an unborn baby when it was only so many weeks along. Now, even after it comes out, even after it's born, you can still murder that child. Where's it going to end? Where's that going to end? I'll tell you where it's going to end. It's going to end, a few years from now, it'll be up to 5 years old. Then it's going to be up to 10 years old. Then murder means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It surprises me. You can get these gunmen that go into stores or wherever it might be anymore, and they shoot down 3 or 4 or 5, 10 people or whatever it might be, and he gets, 40 years in prison. But you murder that little unborn baby, and nothing. It's not even a fine. This election matters. This election matters. Let's go to Psalm 139, 13 through 16. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. 139, 13 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You know, every one of them babies that are murdered at those abortion clinics are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Every one of them. "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." You see that right there? God miraculously makes every life. He miraculously makes every life. And we are to the point in this country of ours where we just kill it. And nothing happens. You have some political people over here running for office who say, "That's fine. We want to use taxpayer money so we can get some more of that done." You got another party over here that says, "We're not spending a dime on that stuff. We're not spending a dime on that stuff." How about Jeremiah 1:5? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You getting the idea how important this presidential election is? It's important, and your vote counts. Jeremiah 1:5. "Before I formed thee in the belly..." See, right there, God says, "Before I formed thee, I knew thee." And God knows every one of those little children that get murdered. He made every one of them, and he knows every one of them. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." We have a lot at stake. We have a lot at stake. Abortion and sodomy are two of the biggest things in this country of ours. No, people don't like to call it sodomy either. I know. They gay or whatever it might be. God calls it sodomy. So I'm going to call it sodomy. At stake is the advancement of sodomy to the point of being fully accepted, not only in our society, which it is. They're forced to accept it. But it's in some churches as well. It's in some churches as well. Pastors are afraid about losing the numbers in the church, you know, losing the dollars in the church. So that stuff's allowed. It's not allowed here. It's not allowed here. Let's go to Leviticus 18:22. We need a president that when a vote's coming up on some sodomy issues, oh, what's he do? He gets out the Bible and he goes to Leviticus 18:22. You know, how should the president react? Well, I don't know. Just a second. Let me see what God says. That's how our president should act. Leviticus 18:22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination." Abomination is severe hatred. God has a severe hatred for that. But this country doesn't. As a whole, we don't. That's what's at stake. At stake is the future of our children and grandchildren. I want you to think about that one for a minute because we're all up there in years, right? But our children and grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, they, if the Lord doesn't come back, they're going to, Lord willing, have a lot of years here. What direction is our country going to go? It comes down to the vote here on November 3rd. It comes down to the vote on November 3rd. I want to encourage you to vote. And vote the way God directs us, according to His Word. You know, me personally, when it comes time to vote, number one thing on my list is murdering innocent unborn children. That's the number one thing on my list. Anytime a candidate comes to my door and knocks on it, that's the first thing I ask. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? If he says he's in favor of that, we're done. We're all done. That's the number one thing for me. But I want to say this too. Even though on come November 3rd, we're going to be electing a new president, and he will set the course of the direction of this country. Our salvation and security does not come from Washington, D.C. It doesn't come from Washington, D.C. It is not dependent on who is in the White House, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here. What's more important, a Christian president or you as a child of God living a godly life? That would be each one of us being a child of God living a godly life. Now, everyone in this country, we're a child of God living a godly life. We won't even need a president. We wouldn't even need anybody to govern us because the Lord would do that. And we would allow him to do that. Let's just go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says right here, there's a lot in this verse right here when you break it down. Remember, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Okay, so God says right here, our land needs to be fixed. It needs to be healed by God. Anyone who disagrees with that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's plain and it's very visible out there that our land needs to be healed. But God says he'll heal that land. You know, if I was running for president, 2 Chronicles 7:14 would be a verse I'd say every day in front of the cameras. Because that's what I would want for this country. I'd want it to be healed. I'd want it to go back to what our past presidents and the founding fathers had to say about this country. I want to get back to that. You say it's impossible. No, it's not impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, so we're talking about Christians here. Okay? The responsibility for fixing this land of ours falls on God's children. It falls on us. It's not the president. It falls on us. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, well, we struggle with that one, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We struggle with that one too. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's a promise right straight from God. We need our land healed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We want our land to be blessed. We want it to be healed. And God says right here how we can have our land healed. That's why I said if I was president, I'd be bringing this verse up all the time. If my people, who are God's people? Those that are called by his name. How many of us here call ourselves Christians? How many of us call, I call myself a Christian. How many of you call yourselves Christians? We are called Christians because we should be Christ-like. I don't see a whole lot of Christ-like people in the world today. I don't see a whole lot of them. There's few. Few. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:16. 1 Peter 1:16 says right here, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Jesus Christ is holy and righteous. Holy and righteous. He's perfect, without sin. And it says right here, be ye holy. You think the Lord would tell us to be holy if it wasn't possible? No, he knows it's possible. And he says, be holy, for I am holy. We should be Christ-like. Your vote matters. We're in 1 Peter. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Do we follow his steps? Or do we even think about following his steps? You see, that's the problem. We have too many people calling themselves Christians that have no desire to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like. Have no desire to be holy because he is holy. We have no desire for this nation of ours to be blessed by God. We have no desire for that. Too many Christians don't even bother to go to the polls on November 3rd and vote. Now, I understand your situation, but there's mail-in ballots. You can send your vote in. Your vote does matter. Your vote does matter. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God promises three things. He promises to hear from heaven, to forgive their sins, and to heal their land. He promises those three things. Do we not need God today in this land? Oh, yes, we do. In our churches, in our families, and in our personal lives, need God to hear us, to forgive us, and to heal our land. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But God cannot bless sin, right? Nor those who ignore him and will not live by faith. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6 says right here, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. A faith that daily lives for the Lord. A faith that wants to worship and give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done for us. A faith that controls our mouths and orders our steps. A faith that rejects worldliness and worldly pursuits. We need leaders that will turn our nation back to God. But it's up to us to turn our hearts back to God. No president of the United States can do that for us. It's up to us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 isn't talking to a president of the United States. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is talking to God's people. God's people. It's up to the Christians. It's up to the Christians. I don't want to keep you too long. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, let me skip down to, I don't want to skip it. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, God says if we will humble ourselves. You know, that's one of the biggest stumbling stones, biggest obstacles people have to overcome right there. This world is filled with pride, especially the United States. Pride. Who are we? Who's Tim Johnson? That's me. Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm a nobody. I have no reason to be proud. The help that I have, the strength that I have, whatever material possessions I have, they all come by the hand of God. Every bit of it come by the hand of God. I have no reason to be proud. How many Christians are miserable today because there is unconfessed sin in their lives and they're too proud to repent of their sin and confess it to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness? You know, we go to 1 John 1:9. Another promise here, 1 John 1:9. 9 and 10, actually. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, now we're going back to wanting God to heal our land, right? We need to humble ourselves so he can forgive us. And it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, and that's the problem we have in our country today because we have a lot of people who don't think they're sinners. And it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make God a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us. We need Christians who will stand up and humble themselves and acknowledge that they are sinners and they need the forgiveness of God. They need the forgiveness of God. That's what our country needs, is for Christians to do that. You know, we get so proud, we get so filled up with pride, we don't even take the time to forgive one another. And I don't want to, I'll spare you the verses on that, but that's just the truth. We hold grudges. We want to be angry. We're bitter towards other people. When all the time we should be forgiving because Christ forgave us. Because Christ forgave us. He's our example. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people will pray, you know, we live in a society now to where everything's hurry, 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 hurry. People don't take time to pray to God anymore. You know, we've read the past presidents and the founding fathers acknowledge God, but we won't even take the time to bend a knee and talk to the Almighty God. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. If ye lust and have not, if ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. And that's what we have a lot of going on today. People aren't interested in what the Lord's will is. They're interested in what's best, what do I think I need? Yeah. They pray selfishly. They pray selfishly. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, put somebody in the office of the President of the United States that will look to you and direct this country of ours by your word, not our own understanding. Not our own understanding. Well, let's just go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How's that? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Don't we need that right there in our country? In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will show this country which way to go. He'll show us daily in our own personal lives which way to go. Which way to go. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, well, if you will seek my face. When you see someone's face, you are standing in front of them and it means you are in their presence. You're in their presence. It means to be able to stand unashamed in the presence of God in all his righteousness and holiness. That ought to be a goal of ours. That ought to be a goal, something we strive for. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 1 through 6. Says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Do we seek the Lord's face? Do we have even a desire to do that? Not as a country we don't, but personally we can, and we should. It also says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we would turn from our wicked ways. God wants to heal this land, but we need to turn from our wicked ways. Now, I said this last time I preached about voting. When you think of that word wicked, you think of some really terrible things. And our first thought after that is, I've never done those things. But that's not the only wicked things that take place in life. I come up with a few things that might surprise you. You know, we kind of want to just gloss over our sin. We try to justify our unfaithfulness to the Lord. We want to make all kinds of excuses as to why we allow sin into our lives. Is it not wicked to leave God out of our daily lives? See, we don't think about that when we talk about turning from our wicked ways, do we? But is it not wicked to leave God out of our daily lives? Yes, it's wicked to leave God out of our daily lives. Is it not wicked to take a day set apart to worship the Lord and spend it like the world does? That's wicked. We need to turn from those wicked ways so God can heal our land. Is it not wicked when there is little to no difference in our lives than the unsaved around us? That's wicked. That's not what the Lord saved us for. You know, if we had no purpose here, after we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, if there was no purpose for us here, He would just take us right to heaven. But we're here to spread His light that should be shining through us to people who are living in darkness and sin, to bring them out of that darkness. That's our job. But too many times, people can't tell the difference between a Christian and someone who's not saved. How about your life? How about your life? Can people tell you're a Christian? Can they tell you're a Christian? I know that's point blank and it's blunt, but you can say the same thing to me. Can people tell I'm a Christian? They should be able to. They should be able to. What an example we are for the Lord to our families and to our neighbors when we turn from wickedness unto godly, faithful living. Now, how many of us really want God to hear us to forgive our sins and heal our land? Now, is that what we really want? Because we just read what we need to do for God to heal our land. And it doesn't rest with a political party. It doesn't rest with the President of the United States or the Senate or the Congress. It rests within our hearts of every born-again believer. That's where it rests. That's where the responsibility lies. Our land desperately needs the Lord to heal it. And your vote does matter. It matters to God. It matters to God. It is important to have those in public office who are moral, decent, and God-fearing men. God-fearing men. The immoral times we live in is reflected in immoral leaders that have been elected in times past. We need to live our lives according to the Word of God and then vote for someone who fears God and will lead this country according to His Word. Pastor, if we go back to Psalm 33:12, we're going to read that verse again and we'll be done. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Remember, Lord is Master. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So, I just want you to know your vote is very important. Your vote is very important. Vote for somebody. Vote for somebody who has a fear of God and who realizes, just like our past presidents, some of the past presidents and our founding fathers knew for a fact, that we are nothing as an individual or as a country apart from God. We are nothing. And it scares me to think, before I got saved, I lived 33 years, and I was apart from God. It just scares me to think about living life without Him. Without Him. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I look to God to direct my steps. Give me His wisdom, which He says all we have to do is ask for, to make the right decisions and choices. So get out, or don't get out, I don't think you can, but don't forget to vote. We have about 1 month. Your vote matters just as much as my vote matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day and this opportunity to put your word on DVD, Father. We do pray for our country, Father. I just pray, Father, that your will be done. I pray, Father, that whoever is the president of this country for the next 4 years will give their heart to you. That, Father, that they will see their need for Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will humble themselves, ask for forgiveness, and ask Christ to save them. Father, and then lead this country according to thy word. Father, we pray for that. We desperately need that. We need you to heal our land. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. I just pray, Father, that if anyone's listening or watching this DVD that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that just through some of these verses here this evening, that they'll see their need for Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late for them. Well, we just thank you again, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.